Narrow knowledge, one off.
Hey everyone, this is Nick, your Narrow Knowledge podcast host, attempting to do the first live stream of 2021. So hopefully this is coming across all right. One of the things I noticed with this program is that it actually does Periscope for Twitter. So we'll see what happens in the future of that, because they are actually disconnecting that in a couple months here. So may have to find another option, but we'll play it by ear from there. Should be streaming on YouTube as well as hopefully LinkedIn. We'll see what happens. But this is going to be something that we continue to do and air in 2021. So no podcast guests coming up on Wednesday, but I will actually take this material and put it there basically for a replay for Wednesday's podcast. So that's the little bit of what we're trying to do. So just, again, a test run, see how well this actually works. Hopefully it is going on. So if somebody is out there and watching, feel free to somehow, I don't know how it's replicating itself somewhere, but there is a chat function. Just say hi, just say that you're here. Well, let me know. One of the things that I'll just go over today outside of this test run is data real quick. I know we've talked about it before, crime analyst stuff, crime analysis work. Intel analysts, everybody who listens for academia, evidence-based policing, and things of the like, we always are dealing with data that's out there. So one of the, if you haven't listened to Dr. Laura Huey's episode, it just dropped this past Wednesday, the 6th, January 6th, 2021. So if you haven't listened to it, give it a listen. But what she brought up and what we talked about a little bit was police data and mental health. And some of the things that we see and came across is the fact that you have issues with how the data is set up. So some of the academic work, and as we know as analysts anyway, data can be quite the bear to work with. We sometimes have a lot to work off of, but sometimes it's not clean. And there's also not enough. So these kind of traditional CAD RMS systems that we work off of and other software programs that contain our data that help us do the job, do the analyses, still might not be enough. And again, as an example, going back to Dr. Laura Huey, mental health tracking ends up being one of those issues. So CAD data can only go so far. You're tracking only one topic is done for that CAD, and when it then possibly ends up being more of an investigation or another report needs to be done on top of that call for service, it obviously goes into our RMS system and we have to deal with it from there. So there's a little bit more detail that comes through, but those initial CAD calls where nothing further may need to go on in terms of investigation or additional reports, what do we do? How are we working with this and this issue that we have CAD systems, again, that don't collect everything that we need right from that front line? Because that's just, again, that quick picture, right? So the call comes in. I've done dispatch for well over a decade, so I know how this ends up working for dispatchers. The call comes in. You take that report, you enter all the basics, pretty much basics, basically, right? Right into the CAD system and into that first window and flesh it out a little bit from there with some narrative. But there is no ability to say that anything was either a suspected mental health issue, suspected drug issue, to mention anything about potential juvenile issues. Unless you put somebody in or tracking some kind of age with the parties that you put involved with that call for service. But if anything, again, goes beyond that, then you have that information that you can kind of track for the most part, depending on how your system allows you to do it. So how do we work with this data? How do we continue? I guess one of the big questions that I try to figure out is why are we still allowing some of these traditional systems to be in place when we need to do so much more with them and we need to track so much more? How come we're not going through, I would love to see a whole bunch of change. And I know there's a few new players to the market in terms of CAD and RMS systems that are trying to change some of this behavior and tracking patterns and what there is and what there isn't and how you can pull things through and accommodate you in some form by allowing you to add additional fields to some of your screens to include, I believe, CAD and other RMS reports that you're doing. But this is where this information needs to be housed, and it becomes siloed in all these separate pieces and then lost. So these traditional aspects didn't keep up for the most part with some of this progression that we have. And so one of the solutions I find, and I think a lot of us do, and some will leverage a few different products, but if we're going to be tracking data, we really should be doing the data entry into a database, right? And so some still do Microsoft Excel or spreadsheets. Some people probably leveraging Google Sheets at this point because it is just that easier, flat, two-dimensional aspect that they can pull from. But for us analysts, if we are actually pulling, we're having some ODBC connection from the CAD and RMS system, as well as possibly a couple other sources of data that we tap into, we really should be using Microsoft Access. And to do that means that we could read these calls for service, unfortunately, as analysts, or somebody's doing it in some form, or we're made aware of a call that might have something further that we need as analysts to help investigations out or to track certain other aspects of the job that we have in terms of doing patterns and trends and other analytical work. And unfortunately, again, the calls for service are kind of a bare bones set of data in order to get that done. And then the narrative within the narrative contains some of the data that we may need. So a Microsoft Access connectivity would help that out. So we could pull that call for service number, through a query, another table. There's different ways to kind of finagle this about, but then actually track those bits and pieces that we need out there. So again, feel free to put something out there. Let me know what you think about what there is that you're using. And you can drop that right in the chat. Hit me up on Twitter if that's where I do a lot of the broadcasting of things that are coming up and things that are going on with the Neuro Knowledge podcast, as well as my business, which is online training. So a lot of analysts need there is no time really to do a lot of this training, right? There's no time to find the materials that we need, and sometimes it's very, very sparse. So really, what I have done is created Neuro Crime Analysis. And if you head on over to neuroca.com, N-I-R-O-C-A.com, you will find my business, which is online training for crime analysts. It is law enforcement technologies in terms of analytical use and building out analytical capacity. So the software that's there is designed in order to get that that training done. One of the pieces that's in there is Microsoft Access. Go in there, learn about your relational databases and building out a Microsoft Access database, because I believe at the core of our job is not just the analytical process, but also being able to collect, gather, and correlate all of that data, aggregate it, and everything else that we need to do to pull that through, because it ends up being lost otherwise, unfortunately. So head on over there. There's a great bit of information, well over like 36 training videos and different law enforcement tools, analytical tools. And I will do a better job of letting everybody know when these live ones are going to come on board, because I'd love to see more people show up. Love to make this a community engagement activity with Neuro Knowledge and the podcast itself. So as I said, with this program I'm running right now, hopefully they'll keep Twitter going in some form or just change the aspect a little bit. If not, I'll have to find a different venue. I know plenty of you track and follow me on Twitter, which is awesome, and put a lot of information out that way. So that's what I got going on for you. There are two guests coming up this month in January. I should say three. Technically, two of them will be on the same podcast with me at the same time. And we'll be talking about missing persons. Again, some research on missing persons that's going on. So that will be a great update from last year's episode with that. And then also talking about, if you did not listen, last year's episode with Dr. Lawrence Sherman was a conversation about crime harm index. And with that, we're actually going to be speaking with somebody here in the States who is attempting to leverage that over in California. So that'll be a great conversation to see how it's applied here in the U.S. So that's what's coming up for this month. Again, I will let everybody know a little bit sooner about the things that I have going on, these live ones that get broadcast, again, so we can get everybody on board. And one more thing I've got coming up for you, and I will put this in the notes when I replay this, but I have a, where did it go? The 28th, 29th, 22nd. Find this. There it is. 22nd. So on Friday, January 22nd at 1 p.m., I will be doing a free webinar again about the top five. Not again. This is the first time I'm doing it, but I'm doing another webinar again because I do some of webinars anyway. But I'll have that available to register soon. So watch out for the link for that. But it's going to be a presentation on the top five analyst softwares to use for 2021 basically and beyond for our job, but the top five programs for there, and we got those going, got that coming up again January 22nd 1 p.m. That will be ready to go. So next time one of these comes up, as I said, I will make people well aware. If you have not gone over to niroca.com, niroca.com stands for neurocrimeanalysis.com. Head on over there, sign up at the very least for the email newsletters that always comes out, giving a lot of information on when the webinars are, new trainings that are available, how to jump in and get membership into the crime analysis platform. And I just keep people informed that way as well. So Twitter and the email newsletter are great ways to keep up to date. And I will have, and I'll put that together so that way weekly it'll come out, let you know what's coming up as well for the podcast. So it'll be kind of an all-inclusive newsletter for not only the crime analysis material and trainings that are available and webinars, but also for here for the podcast. So well, that's what I got for you folks today. Thank you for those who tuned in and joined me on this live. I know, again, was a very short notice, so I appreciate it. I don't know if the chat actually ended up working, but we'll see if it functioned. I wonder if I can say hello to everybody here, right? Maybe it worked. I don't know. It's in my little bar over here. But I'm sure as we get more people on, some of that chat function will pop up, show, and go there. It shows that it did go to, looks like Twitter and YouTube. But again, so if you're listening to this, it probably sounds weird because you're not getting the imagery of what's going on. So that's about it. So I'll wrap it up. Goodbye to everybody. Again, a couple more guests coming up this week. Check out neuroca.com. Keep in touch with Neuro Knowledge on Twitter. The video podcast will be available on the YouTube page for Neuro Knowledge. And I will catch you all later. Thanks for stopping by.
Another great episode of Neuro Knowledge. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And remember to share, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite service. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me at nick@neuroca.com. It is nick@neuroca.com.